Today's scripture is Ephesians 4, and you can look on the screens here or in your bulletins. Great passage on what it means to be transformed by Jesus. So, excellent words here. With the Lord's authority, I say this: live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives, because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity. But that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy.
Trick. Okay, we're talking about the kingdom agenda. As you have probably noticed over the last couple of weeks, we're also kind of reframing and re-encouraging you towards the vision of our church. What kind of church have you joined or are interested in or are visiting today? We are a church that is responding to the Great Commission by encouraging unchurched people and de-churched people to join us. Here's our focus for today. As we become fully devoted followers of Christ, what does it mean to follow Christ in every aspect, in every element of our relationship? Every relationship, every circumstance, every setting in our life. And I think that's a challenge. I think that's always been a challenge. The Great Commission, Matthew 28. Notice what Jesus says: teach them all that I have commanded you. Pass it along. What you've learned from me, pass on to those around you. So it is simply an evangelistic piece. We want to encourage other people to join us. We want them to understand the good news. As I mentioned the first week, we want people to go to heaven, not to hell. And I'm someone that believes that in the balance of our relationship with other people, especially in the community we live in, that reality, the opportunity to change the eternal trajectory of a person, it's in the balance of our relationships. Why? Because we want that nice person, that good person, that funny person, that great person that we hang out with to spend eternity with us. We're just selfish. Selfish. The other part of what we're talking about today is that it is about full devotion to Jesus Christ. It is about discipleship, about being a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Becoming a fully devoted follower of Christ is really about the theological word sanctification. Sanctification, what does it mean that you're sanctified? You've been saved when you ask Jesus to be the leader of your life and the Holy Spirit takes up residency inside of you. And then we make our way day in and day out in that sanctification. There are two elements to sanctification to understand that term and how it's fleshed out in the scriptures. Number one, it's an act that's been done for you. Once you ask Jesus to be the leader of your life, you are now a sanctified person. You are different. You're different not only in what your eternal destination is, you are different than where your destination is tomorrow or the end of the week. Life becomes different. We have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. He did it. He did it for us. He's holy, and he makes us holy. Now, that word means set apart. You know, we are set apart. We are different. Our agenda, our full devotion is not to other things in this world. It is to Jesus. To Jesus. And yes, that means whatever we've made into a god, we have to set aside so that we can worship the one and true God. And we are very good at making, well, idols, making other things in our life about God. And you can see that as you look around at those around you. You'll see that everybody makes something into a god. The question is it worthy to be our God? And all the gods we make with our own hands, they are definitely temporal. They're temporal. Jesus Christ is eternal. And as he sanctifies us, he makes us holy, he sets us apart. And part of being set apart is how we live now, but it's also how we live for all eternity. The temporal is no longer the primary thing that we live for. Now we live with our eyes to heaven, our agenda addressing what's eternal more than what's temporal in life. So it happens all in a twinkling of the eye. In an urgent moment where the Holy Spirit says, God's calling you, I want to respond to that. And it's done in Jesus Christ. We are at that moment set apart. In that single moment, we understand our true identity as children of God. And that changes our agenda. That changes our to-do list. I'll even encourage you with Jeff here. It may change what is on your bucket list before you die. It's a dangerous thing to ask Jesus to be the leader of your life. It's also a wonderful thing, a spectacular thing, an engaging thing, something in this world that is worth your very best. Your very best. Now, to get to your very best, it's about staying engaged with God every day. Sanctification is something that happens in a moment because it's what's been done for us, not what we do in Jesus Christ. But it is also a day-to-day growing process. Peter says, grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge, those are two big things to study. We want to gain knowledge and understanding about God, but we also want to grow in the grace of God. And so we share the knowledge and the grace as we seek to be fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. So what is this change, this sanctification really all about? It's about our old nature and putting off our old nature and putting on our new nature. Here's our scripture passage for this morning. Since you have heard about Jesus and responded to that, raised your hand, said, Jesus, I want you to be the leader of my life. Since you do that, since you've done that, throw off your old sinful nature, your former way of life. Ooh. No, that's not easy to do, Pastor. No, it's not. In fact, I'll just help you out. Under your own human power, you will not throw off your old nature and the way that you used to live. Because I know willpower is just not powerful enough. You can throw off a lot of little things. You might get really good and throw off even some of the medium things. But man, those large things, and don't you have some extra large things in your life? Oh, yeah. And it's not as though we don't try to do that under our own willpower, but you do that for a while and you're ready for Jesus. You're ready for Holy Spirit power because it is supernatural. And once that power takes up residency in your life and you turn that baby up to full flame, now you're cooking. Now you're cooking. Now you're able to take on some things that you were never able to ever to take up on your own. All right, we got to put off the old nature of your former way of life. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, like Jesus. Truly righteous and holy. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we're able to do righteous and holy things. Why is it that way? Because that's the way God set it up. We got to put off the old nature. We have to put on the new nature. What about that old nature? We do have an old sin nature. Your old sinful self has died. Notice the tense of the verb. It's dead. Please stop doing CPR on your dead old nature. Oh, I know how you get. I know how I get. Certain times of the year, certain things affect us in a negative way, and we go over and do a little CPR on that old nature. Are you ever happy you did CPR on your old nature, really? The answer is no. In that moment, or soon after those moments, we realize. We ask the question, why are we doing CPR on our old nature and our old way of living? If it was that good, we'd still want to live that way. And we don't. In our heart of hearts, we really want to let our old sinful nature die. One way to do that is stop doing CPR on it. Your old sinful nature has died, and your new life is kept with Christ in God. Christ is the keeper. That's why we want to become more Christ-like. That's why it's all about Jesus. He is the keeper of our new nature, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, we're able to put that old sinful nature off and then put on our new nature. And you are a new person. You are a new person. Act like it. Think like it. Feel like it. When someone becomes a Christian, they become brand new people on the inside. We are not the same anymore. A new life has begun. Full devotion is about becoming the person that God has always slated you to be. And as we prayed earlier, and we're going to get to that in just one moment, it's not about what you do, it's about what's been done for you. So here's the question to raise. If my old nature and my old way of living is really dead, and I'm dead to sin, and I have a new life, and I'm putting that on, and I'm growing, why is that not working very well in my life? And I believe the answer to that is thinking it's up to you, and it's not up to God. See, where's your new life kept? It's kept by Christ. It's kept by Christ. And Christ is the one, so to speak, that unfurls that, he rolls that out in our life. And the way to live in our new nature and not our old nature is having faith in what Jesus has already done for us. That's why it's about yielding and submission. It's about yielding and submission. I'll go back to Christmas Eve. No room at the end. We think it's up to us to make room. We do all these things to try to make room for God in our life, and all we have to do is just let him in. Let him take up residency. And as I said, he'll go room to room. he will. That's the way he is. And if we yield to him and if we allow him to, then he goes to every area, every facet of our life, and he enables us to be new there and not old. And who doesn't want to be a new person? Who doesn't want to put on the holy character that God has in store for us? This verse reminds us that it's about yielding and submitting. And since your old sin-loving nature died with Christ, we know that you will share his new life. It's his new life. It's his resurrected life that he wants to share with us. And as we look at the resurrection of Jesus, all the writers point to the power of God. How did Jesus resurrect? By the power of God. How is our old nature put off and our new nature put on? By the power of God. So how do we yield and submit to God? How do we let him take up residency with us? It's not about all the things we do to try to make room for him. And I don't think there's a very long list of what we need to do. There's a commonality of yielding and submitting. And yeah, there are some basic things to do. And I want to move to that. So what do we do to put off our old nature, stop doing CPR on our dead old nature? And how do we put on our new self? I will say this, and I've illustrated this before. It's like having two coats, two big coats. You cannot just put the new nature of God over your old self. You will never get that new coat on over your old coat. And with that image, I walk around and I see people, they keep trying to put this other big coat over their old one. It's not working. No, you have to take the old coat off to put the new coat on. How do you do that? Number one, it's about the way that you think. Go to Romans. What does Paul say? Paul says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into the new person that you are by changing the way that you think. Now, I'm a cognitive counselor in my training. You're all a very smart bunch of people. So leading with your thinking has a lot to do with putting on the new nature. You have to be willing to think some new thoughts. Think differently than you thought. I've told you that's my biggest challenge in this community. Now, last week I sat with my peer group down in Orlando, Florida at the head office. In my check-in time, I said, I have a very difficult task in front of me because I have to remind people who are very bright, very successful, that for the last 72, 82 years of their life, they have not thought correctly. That for that long in their life, they've been thinking old nature, not new nature. Well, you just don't know who I am. You don't know what I've done. Well, actually, I probably do. And I get it. I like the way that I think. I like my ideology. I've got my compartments and my labels, and you know, most of the time, my life really didn't go that well. And one of the things I realize is that God wants to change my thinking. He thinks in a very different way than I think. Thinking eternally is a little bit different than thinking temporally. How do I get everything I want out of life? And that's really an old nature way to live. How do I get it all? I love having Jeff come. It's a reminder. He gives you a lot so you can give it away. Oh, enjoy it. Enjoy it, but also give it away. Take all you've learned, and as God gives you a different way to think about things, you begin to think eternally about things. It becomes an asset. It's no longer a barrier. But I can tell you this, till you listen to Jesus knock at the door of your life, as smart and as bright as you are and as high as your IQ is, it's a detriment to you. Because you think you know better than God. You think you can live your life without God. And the truth is, in the simple and small places, yeah, you can. But you get to the large and the extra large things of life, and you begin to realize, wow, I'm not smart enough. I don't know enough. I'm not capable enough. And to do that, that's about yielding and surrender. It's not about getting stupid. I don't want you to get stupid. I want you to think eternally. I don't want you to think that you're dumb. You're not dumb. You're very smart, very capable. And as we gather up all that capability and all of that intellect and we focus it on the Great Commission, on altering the eternal trajectory of people around us, well, who can hold up under that? See, it begins by letting Jesus change the way you think. And I'll tell you already, you're not going to get to think as much about you or as highly about yourself as you're used to or you'd like to. You begin to see the gifts that God has given you and the talents and abilities that God has given you, and you can see that that's not just to make my retirement and swim easy and comfortable. It might mean being a little uncomfortable. It might mean not doing everything for yourself. Changing the way you think might change the way that you spend your money. Time, talent, treasure, and touch. Everybody's got the same resources. God takes those four resources, and as He changes the way that we think, not copying the old patterns of this world, it's amazing what God does in us and through us. Number two, it is about some habits. It's good to have some spiritual habits, spiritual disciplines is the old term for it. You need some spiritual habits if you want to put your old nature on and off and put your new nature on. Then, you know, read the Bible every day. Get in a Bible study. Get in a small group. Start praying with God, and that'll start maybe as a specific time that you have prayer with God. But I'll tell you, the older I get, the longer that conversation takes. Keeps whispering things to me during the day, and I know it's God, because sometimes I want to go, there's no way. What? I know that's God, because it's not comfortable and it's not easy. In fact, many times it's not convenient. It's urgent. It's eternal. I think you need to keep coming to worship. Keep coming to worship. You're in the right place. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. Man, that's what we're trying to do. Day in and day out. Understand more and apply that with grace everywhere you go. Well, that's a whole nother sermon. Find a place to serve. I mentioned this last week. I do want you to get all that you need when you come to Squim Community Church, but I always watch for people starting to add in, making at least a small commitment to the community of faith that comes here. And what's great about this church, we're big enough. We got big things to do, and we got a lot of little things to do. A lot of doable things for almost anybody to do. So there you go. You want some habits? Read the Bible, pray. Find yourself a place to serve. Come to worship every week. You do those things, it's amazing how you'll grow into your new nature. And how you will celebrate the fact that your old nature is in the past. Now, for that to happen, you got to trust Jesus. Trust Him. So let it grow, for when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. I don't know about you, I yearn for that. I yearn for that. I yearn to be complete, not really needing anything. And it's true. You'll work your whole life on that. I'm still needy, but I'm not as needy as I used to be. I'm bad, but I'm not as bad as I used to be. When we trust what Jesus wants to do in us, it does make it easier to cut loose of the things that keep drawing us to the back, pulling us down in life. The vision that Jesus wants to give us is a vision about the fact that the past is done with. It's forgiven. And He wants us to face forward with a great vision, with our eyes focused on eternity. And it is an adventure, a journey of trust. Trust and trust and more trust. Last thing, the goal is for you and I to be like Christ. We are the people he called, and he decided that we would be like his son, Jesus. See, God decided that he wants us to be like his son, Jesus, and we need to decide whether we want to be like his son, Jesus. And that decision is about our thinking, it's about our habits, it's about our trust, and it's about what's the highest priority in our life. Is it us? Is it someone else or something else? Or is it Jesus? Let's pray. Lord, we do want to be fully devoted followers of yours, and we know even as we let that roll off of our tongue and lips, wow, that is a very high aspiration. That is a very day-to-day goal, and yes, it is. Lord, encourage us to not doubt the reality of you in our life. Lord, help us trust you that you can change the way we think and therefore change the way that we behave, that the healthy spiritual habits that we take on, that those two will fight back the old tendencies in how we think, feel, and live. Lord, allow us to yield and surrender to you that you might come and live with us, that we might live with you. And as we do, not only will our life produce some great fruit, Lord, we know that the eternal result and end of the life of this person and that person and that person over there will not be hellish, but we know that it will be heavenly because it's something you've done, not only for us, but for all who believe in you. And we thank you for that, and we pray in your name. Amen.